Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here. But if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you from beautiful Pueblo, Colorado on this 8th day of September 2009. We have a great show today, folks. We'll be talking about medical movies with Morgan Lawrence, author of an exciting book titled The Streets Ran Red. Morgan also has over 30 years' experience in the medical field, as well as an extensive knowledge about movies, so he's the perfect guest to have on a show about this topic. But first, through the magic of Blog Talk Radio, our trusty co-host Jazz Shaw is waiting to join us from New York, and our producer extraordinaire Nikki Starr is calling from a new southern location, so let's bring them both on now. Hi, Nikki. Did you have a fun Labor Day weekend in your new home?
Oh, yes. Had a great time, and I do have to say that I love the South. Oh, yes. I'm happy to be home.
Well, it looks like a beautiful, beautiful place from the pictures that you sent, all of those gorgeous trees, and it mm-hmm. looks like a place where you can be very happy, and I know you will be. And I have to ask you, too, is our chat room all set to go?
Yes, ma'am. It's still.
Fantastic. And we really appreciate our chatters as well as, of course, all our other listeners. So thanks so much, everyone, for tuning in. Now, Jazz, how was your Labor Day weekend?
I was traveling also. It was great. I was up in the mountains doing some fishing, just got back home. I did not get any pictures from Nikki, but then again, she always forgets me. But, you know, I know she's going to make a perfect Southern belle.
I think she's perfect, north or south, Belle in any location. But how I know in our town, in Pueblo, things are usually pretty quiet over Labor Day. Everyone's very, very exhausted because we host the Colorado State Fair here every year around this time. And so right after the fair, it gets kind of quiet, but thankfully, we always have our movies. And speaking of movies, I'm very happy to introduce today's special guest. Hi, Morgan. Welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters.
Well, hi, Betty Jo. How are you?
I'm just fine. I'm very, very excited about the show today and been looking forward to it for a long time.
Yeah, me too.
It's such a pleasure. I think so. And I wonder, where are you calling from?
I live in Palm Beach, Florida. My house sort of sits on the ocean, so I'm looking out my office window at the Atlantic Ocean at the moment.
Oh, I'm very, very jealous, but I just can't get over how this technology, it's so amazing that it can bring us all together from all over the country.
Yeah, it's sure making the globe a smaller place, isn't it?
Definitely is, and I love it. And I guess we should get down to business now. So, Jazz, what would you like to ask Morgan?
Well, I would start on something about the Atlantic Ocean, but we don't really have time for that today. So we're
maybe
going to be discussing medical movies, and of course,
right.
We don't want to talk to somebody who's not an expert. So can you first tell us a little bit about your medical background?
Well, I started out as a deputy sheriff paramedic, and I did that for a number of years, which is the basis of my book. And as time went on, it progressed to a point where I decided to go back to college, and I went through the physician's assistant program at Johns Hopkins and got certified as a PA and then certified as a traumatologist and worked in the emergency room there for a number of years until I eventually went to work at University of Maryland Shock Trauma Unit working with R. Adams Cowley, who is the father of trauma medicine. And evolutionarily, it it's been an interesting run because my first advanced cardiac life support training program was with Michael DeBakey, the heart surgeon, and then I ended up working with Dr. Cowley for a lot of years in open head and chest trauma. So the evolution of my medicine has been one of an educational dance, if you will, sort of a waltzing through the minefield training program, if you will. And I did it as long as it physically, it's a very physically demanding job.
I imagine so, and what an impressive background. Now, your book deals with the traumatic medical situations you've seen while working in the field. And
as
what
deputy,
a great
yeah.
title, The Streets Ran Red. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about the book and how things are progressing, what kind of success you've had so far with it.
The book has actually taken on a life of its own. It never was going to be a book. It really didn't actually come to pass until many years into the field, and I got tired of people coming to me and saying, man, you really need to write a book with everything that you've been through or what you've been involved in. And I picked the first 10 years as a deputy paramedic because at that time the program was brand new. There were only 7 paramedics nationwide, and we had no backups. We didn't have any of the really nice, neat equipment that the guys have now. The toys they have now are wonderful, but what we had back then, number one, we had glass bottle IVs and re-sterilizable needles and a lot of Dr. Mengele medicine in the roadway.
It wasn't
as pretty as it is today. But
one thing I wasn't clear on, at least for the audience, is your book primarily fictional? Is it based?
No, there's no fiction in my book at all.
Stuff entirely.
Everything in the book happened for real.
And
for real people.
The
only thing that's different is I changed their names.
Have you given any thought to adapting this for a screenplay for the movie? Since this is a movie show.
Right.
You know, it's funny you say that because I had a meeting 2 weeks ago with some people from the network, and we had the meeting about whether it was going to be a book or a movie, and the experts say that there's way too much detail in this book for a two-hour movie. It would have to be a three-hour movie, and that would be too long. And considering the graphic nature of the book, it would be probably a little bit too rough. So we had talked about they're looking at putting the funding in the background together to do a TV series on the book right now as we speak.
Oh, that is so exciting. I hope you'll keep us posted about that. I was checking a little on your website and on some doing some other research on your book, and people who have read it say things like, well, I started to read this book before bedtime, and I wish I hadn't done that because then I couldn't sleep all night. I just had to read all through the night to finish it. And that's the kind of feedback you're getting.
I've gotten some really interesting reviews. The best one, my favorite all-time review, which I didn't put on my website, was from the book editor of the Baltimore Sun, and he says, I went into the bathroom and sat down on the toilet and opened the first page, and 6 hours later, I closed the last page and I was able to leave the bathroom, and I'm thinking to myself, that's probably the nicest compliment that I'll never get to use.
Well, you just used it. You can use it on Blog Talk Radio, especially on Movie Addict Headquarters. And of course, because we have chosen the topic of movies about medical themes, I just was so happy when you agreed to be on the show because of your background in medicine, but also because we've talked a little bit about movies on Sunny Day's show
on
Laughing Lady. Laughing Lady.
You and I
show.
Have danced this dance a few times, haven't we?
That's right, and I'm just so impressed with your knowledge about movies and your passion for it. I think you're a movie addict just like Jazz and
I was just
going to
say, I think we're all under the same umbrella of love for movies here.
Right. So putting your background in medicine and your love of movies together, maybe you could explain to me why you think movies and TV shows about medicine or medical topics are so popular.
Well, first of all, they emulate reality, not in a true sense, but in what people romantically believe is true sense. As far as they see doctors and they want to think that good things are going to happen, and they're prepared in case they don't, but they want to see why things work and how things work. And medical shows give us that open door point of view from what it's like to be in the scrubs when they're barking orders at you about this guy's got this and this and this and this and this, and you have to, and you know what you have to do. One of the shows, and I don't want to get off topic, but one of my favorite shows right now is a medical show called House, which is the best comedy on TV for me. I enjoy it immensely because I see things in that show that you won't ever see no matter how much you watch it. When they do the workups, when they do the history and physicals, or when he's doing clinic duty, it's hysterical because there are a lot of things that happen on that show that I know are there because I talked to one person and they talked to a person and it ended up being used on the show.
Really?
Yeah. My agent in San Diego is best friends with the EP for House, so I would tell my agent and she would tell her and it would sort of find its way into House.
Oh, and you don't get any,
what do they call it,
residuals? Or,
you got to cash in on that, Morgan. You got to cash in on that.
Yeah, you'd think I'd be better at that, wouldn't you?
Well, you know, we have that discussion with everybody who's in the business, and you're going to be getting more into it. You got to take care of the business end and not just the creative end, and that's the tedious part, but, you know, you got to do that.
Hey, I'll disagree when you're wrong, but you're absolutely right.
Betty Jo mentioned that you guys have gone over some of this before, but particularly for our newer listeners, let's get right down to it. It's a popular topic, not just for television and the stage. It's been done everywhere. But in movies in particular, there have been quite a few medical movies with greater and lesser varying degrees of success.
Right.
Give us your top five. What are the really good ones?
The top five for me?
Yeah, your personal five favorites of
my
films
personal
based
five
on
favorites.
A medical theme, yeah.
Starting with my very absolute favorite of all time, which is Hospital with George C. Scott. Absolutely number one. Number two is MASH, the movie, not the TV series, the movie. Number three is probably Coma, mostly because of how well they did it. Number four is Cuckoo's Nest, and I'll go into detail about all these in a little bit. And number five is Patch Adams. And all of these have significant loves to me because of the things that came through that you may have felt and experienced, but you didn't realize you were being administered these symptomologies or actions, if you will.
I got to say, first of all, Patch Adams was kind of a surprise to hear that one, but that's a good unusual pick. Like
well,
that.
There's a reason for that, though.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering why. You've kind of explained on in general why you picked them, and then you said that a Coma because of how well it was done. But why the Hospital?
Hospital was so on the money of what the feelings are of a doctor who's been in the field for a long time and sees the horrors of medicine the wheels of medicine go badly wrong. My favorite thing in there is there's a character played by Bernard Hughes who runs around the hospital in a nightgown, killing people, saying, "I am the Pericles of Kourvorka, the angel of the bottomless pit." And every time I've seen that, I laugh hysterically at that because there have been patients, you know, not killing people, but running around the hospital in the middle of the night, claiming to be everything from The Angel at the Bottomless Pit to Lord's Little Lamb and everything in between.
It was quite a successful black comedy, I think. And George C. Scott, I understand, earned an Oscar nomination for The Hospital.
He really hit it on the head.
He played a suicidal doctor. He was burnt out.
Impotent suicidal doctor. And there's a situation in there. And the reason they put it in there is because they had a guy who was plugged in with an IV, and they killed him because the guy was a diabetic, and they plugged him in. And he was guilty of nothing more than having his identity stolen. They changed his chart around, and he ended up getting an IV he shouldn't have gotten and killed him. Another guy came in for a routine physical, and they went in, some first-year med student went in there and talked him into, told him the old intern lie about protein in the urine. They cut him open. They damaged one kidney and destroyed the second one and put him into a coma. And when they came to George C. Scott and told him about this, he said, "Let me get this right. We took a perfectly healthy man, and in the space of 1 week, we damaged one kidney and destroyed the second one. Let the poor guy go before we kill him."
Oh, my gosh, that was quite a lot. The tagline for that movie, I thought, was just great. Murder, malpractice, and madness.
Yeah.
So anyone who wants to see a black comedy that
when it comes to dark humor, that is the genre where you really see a lot of it, because there's so many morbid things go on, but you almost have to laugh. You mentioned George C. Scott already, and you already gave us some of the best films. I'm just curious. I see some actors and actresses do get stereotyped, particularly people on TV who work in a long-running series. But even in movies, as, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. Who are some of your favorite actors and actresses who have appeared in medical films that you think really, you know, personified the industry, you know, the trade, and really did a good job portraying people in that field?
Well, again, I have to go back to I know people are going to be screaming at the tube when they see this. The portrayal by Robin Williams of Patch Adams. Now, remember that Patch Adams was a real person. This movie is based on real events. And he brought the old man's network to life and said, "Look, we can be human with our patients. We can laugh with them. We can show them our personal sides. We don't have to be these strict automatrons." And he was one of the first ones who really kind of broke that stereotype. And it destroyed him in the end, because he trusted the wrong person with his best friend, and she was killed. But the bottom line, and part of the reason that I wrote my book, was that I wanted to show the humanity of people who are in this field who can go out and deal with having your hand in somebody's abdomen, holding a descending aorta together until you can get them to a trauma room, and a surgical team and a vascular team can get together and sew them back up, and then go home at the end of the day and have a beer and watch a ball game, and then get up the next morning and do it all over again. I've done that. Well, it's in my book.
Well, Patch Adams, I admire greatly for what he was trying to do. And Robin Williams, I think, did a great job playing Patch Adams. My only complaint about that movie was it was very over-sentimental. I think that part of it could have been toned down a little bit.
Well, they went too far with it. They had an idea, but they overused it.
I know. Well, why is MASH on your list?
MASH is on my list because of the graphic nature of the surgical situations in there, and what it's like to work real trauma, open trauma. When you've got an open chest or abdomen and there's five of you standing around here packing, cutting, and tying off things and trying to keep this person alive, and you know, you're saying things to each other that you probably would not normally say, but and because this is a G show, I won't say them. But it's much, much more graphic than anything you're going to see on ER or any of the TV shows, and MASH was the only one that I ever saw that took it to that extent to show you what it's like to tie off a bleeder when it's squirting in your face.
Well, and the characters were so interesting in that movie.
Yeah.
And I think it was one of Robert Altman's best movie as a director. In fact, he did get an Oscar nomination for it. It got an Oscar for best writing. And I just loved in that film how the staff uses humor to deal with the horrors of war. The cast, oh my gosh, it was just great. Donald Sutherland, wasn't he Hawkeye?
Donald Sutherland was Hawkeye.
Elliot
Gould was Trapper John.
Robert Duvall as Major
Robert Duvall
Byrne.
was Frank.
It just the cast was just perfect in that.
It was
movie.
The only movie that ever made the transition to TV and had a longer standing run on television than even the war it portrayed.
Yes, that's right. That I hadn't thought of it that way. Well, what about Cuckoo's Nest? I know that was a highly successful film, and it was more about the it took place in a rehab center or
it was a mental ward, and
mental
ward. Nicholson was sent there. He, claimed mental deficiency and got sent there to avoid going to prison. Well, the problem was he wasn't insane, but he was surrounded by people who had various mental illnesses going on, and he was organizing them to be his team to work against Nurse Ratched, who was running the thing, and she let him have enough rope to hang himself before they finally, no one saw the ending of that coming.
No,
important thing.
Is the biggest part, in addition to the really great acting and the unusual nature of the story itself. The ending is what made it last so long. It makes it cross over from generation to generation, and young people today watch that film and still just go, holy cow.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
It's really a
classic. Look how many stars it made out of people. DeVito, Christopher Lloyd, William Redfield, all of these. I mean, there were so many people who were just starting
Louise
out.
Louise Fletcher.
Of course.
Nurse
absolutely.
Nurse Ratched.
It was, I'm going to have to see that movie again. But now you don't have to do any convincing for me for the movie Coma, because I just thought that was such an exciting thriller. And Genevieve Bujold was absolutely terrific as this intern trying to find out why so many anesthetized patients have gone into vegetative comas. And that scene where she finds a bunch of them housed on Moss, I guess we should say, in an experimental institution, and there they are suspended by wires. That is that's a visual that you never...
Absolutely. That's the money shot. That's the money shot of the movie. When she goes into that room and they're all just hanging there in the air, that's the money shot of the film. And you have to remember, this film was done in 1978.
Right.
It hit the theaters in January of 78. Let's remember that organ marketing and donation at that time was brand new, fresh paint. No one even knew much about it. So for a movie like this to hit, and people were thinking about, oh, my God, they're putting people in comas so they can market their organs.
And that, I hope you would certainly agree, that movie in particular was probably what gave rise to so many of the legends that later found their way to the Internet when we had the talk about people waking up in bathtubs with their backs, stitched shut, college students running away with their kidneys, And I think a lot of it dates back to that, and it's become part of our social consciousness is that fear that we have in the background.
Yeah,
that was
a landmark
movie. Well, you have some excellent choices here. I think it's time now to check with Nikki and see if there are some other movies that are being mentioned by our chatters. Nikki, any other movies, or do the chatters agree with Morgan's choices?
Well, the chatters do agree. It seems like MASH is the number one choice. I actually brought up whether he thought Flatliners was a medical movie.
Flatliners.
I hope Flatliners was on my list.
Yeah, Flatliners was a very good example of what happens when medical students are allowed to be unsupervised with the capabilities. Also, that genre of everyone wanting to know what it's like to be dead and coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I just did a show a couple weeks back on this, talking about real cases where I had patients who had been dead for extended periods of time and came back. And there are subjective interviews that I did with them on what they experienced while they were down. And this Flatliners was a good one because they took it to its absolute maximum capability and turned it into a plot line, which I really thought I was very appreciative of the writing and the way the movie was done. And the casting was perfect.
Oh, yes. Was it that
one of my neighbors, and I've always wanted to meet somebody who had one of the more interesting stories because we do live near somebody who that happened to, and really badly, in the operating room. And and asking, you know, well, what was it like? Did you see anything? You know, was there and he was just like, you know, as far as I know, when I woke up, I thought the surgery went great. I don't remember a thing. I got put under and I woke up and it was done and I felt fine. And meanwhile, they had been in surgery, you know, like trying desperately to bring this guy back to life for like 15 minutes. You know,
yeah.
He was dead. And he didn't remember a darn thing. They woke him up. He's in the recovery room. He's like, how'd it go? And you don't want to disturb him. They're like, oh, I'm fine. You're all set now. And he got discharged. And only later on did he get told, oh, yeah, by the way, you died for a quarter of an hour.
Oh, wow. What an experience. Well, that's an excellent suggestion. So a Flatliners and MASH coming in from Nikki and the chatters. What about you, Jazz? What are your top five?
Well, he already covered two, which would be Cuckoo and MASH, and I also had chimed in with Flatliners. The other two really bizarre ones that I picked, and Morgan may not even agree if these are entirely medical movies. I thought they qualified because I love comedy so much. One of them was Crazy People with Dudley Moore.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
And that,
that's
again,
a good
that's
movie.
The mental hospital, you know.
Yeah.
And going back a long ways to the 70s, and now I'll probably get booed by everybody, but still, just an old classic, one of my favorites. It was Bill Cosby and Raquel Welch who did a movie
called Mother Jugs and Speed.
Another
excellent choice. Very, very
Those
good.
Those are great. Well, it looks like we have a winner here with MASH because that's on my list, too. And I also, of course, had Coma on my top five, and then my other three were, maybe this isn't a medical film. We're all kind of antsy here about whether our choices are medical films or not, but I think it is. It's called The Bucket List, and that's another Jack Nicholson film.
Oh yeah,
Jack Nicholson Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman. And after I saw that movie, these are terminally ill patients, senior citizens who meet in a hospital, and they decide that they're going to make this list of all the things that they want to do before they kick the bucket. And they have at their disposal a lot of money because one of them is the owner of the hospital. And so they go on this, you know, they get out of the hospital and they just do some very, very exciting things. And after I saw that movie, I just wanted to make my own bucket list. And
yeah, I was kind of wondering how many people went out and made their own bucket list after that movie.
You guess what my top three things are? Dance the Tango with Antonio Banderas.
Of course.
Still my heart. Sing a duet with Debbie Reynolds. And have lunch with Johnny Depp. So those are my three things that I wanted to do after
well,
I saw that movie.
Maybe we can knock one of those out next week.
That's true because, listeners, we have scheduled a special Movie Addict Headquarters show next Thursday. And it isn't definite yet, but we're pretty sure that Debbie Reynolds will be with us live. And remember, we've been trying to get her for so long because we've done a tribute to her and we've done a Singing in the Rain tribute. And I just got a call from her assistant this morning who wants to set up a time for Debbie Reynolds to be on Movie Addict Headquarters. So
that's
I think it'll
excellent.
Be next Thursday, but I will keep you posted about that. And then I had on my list also Lorenzo's Oil. Now, I think that is definitely a medical movie, and it shows that how we should be proactive in the health care of our loved ones. And I think that's also what the bucket list shows. But here are these parents, played by Susan Sarandon and Nick Nolte, who find out that the doctors have no hope for their young boy, and they just won't give up. So they do a lot of research, and they come up with this treatment that actually works on the ailment that their son had. And it's a powerful movie. It's very, very painful to watch, but it shows what can be done when you do become proactive in terms of your treatment and what can be done. So that one. And then Simple Things, this is for Nikki, because this is a little independent film. I think it's out on DVD now, called Country Remedy. Now, I don't know why they changed it, but it's a sort of a Doc Hollywood kind of film, but I think it's better than Doc Hollywood, and it's about this surgeon who is very, he's grieving because he's just lost his wife, and his little boy is sad also, and so his boss sends him to beautiful North Carolina and lets mountain time take its toll, or work its magic, I should say, because he's supposed to set up the head of a clinic, and of course he has to do everything in the clinic there. And he goes from a big city to this small North Carolina community, and it's just one of the most charming, delightful family films that I've seen. And so I definitely put that on my list. Now we did talk about performances, and Morgan, you mentioned George C. Scott. Are there any other performances that you would like to mention in these films?
God, there are so many people who have played really good doctors in so many different things. I really think that Alan Alda did a great job as Hawkeye on the TV series. Robert Morse played a great doctor on St. Elsewhere. That whole cast on St. Elsewhere was wonderful. And they really kind of hit it in the head. When you look at Howie Mandel's performance on that show, you saw your average stone-cold broke, deep-in-the-hole financial medical student who was trying to be the best doctor he could so he could survive, not just be the best doctor he could, but so he could survive. And the things that took place on there were really, really, really on the money. William Daniels played the director of the heart surgeon, and he played that part. I mean, he really killed that part, because some of the heart surgeon instructors, the doctors that run the programs, are exactly like this in their personalities.
Those are good choices. I would have to, of course, add the names of Susan Sarandon and Nick Nolte in Lorenzo's Oil, and Louise Fletcher, who I think did win an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress for Nurse Ratched.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, how I hated her.
She really nailed that part well. She took
did.
Home iron for that one.
And then Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman in The Bucket List, I thought they were both just at the top of their game.
Oh,
in
they
movie.
Were fantastic. If we could
really
have an honorable mention, though, I would put in one more that didn't even make our list of movies. Harrison Ford in Mosquito Coast.
Oh,
I had forgotten about that movie.
Where they found the cure for cancer and lost it.
It
was a great film, and I thought he did a fantastic job. And
you know, I'd forgotten about that.
For him, because
that is
usually
a good choice.
The adventure guy, you know, and the shoot 'em up guy and all that. And playing a doctor, it was a big stretch for him, and I thought he did a great job with it.
One tie between the movie Hospital and Doc Holliday and Doc Hollywood?
No.
There was an actor that was in both movies.
Really?
Yeah.
And?
I'm trying to think. Woody Harrelson?
No.
Please tell us.
Bernard Hughes.
Oh, that's
oh,
right, because you had
yeah.
mentioned him as the one in
yeah.
Match.
He was
yeah.
the angel at the bottomless pit in hospital, and he was the old sawbones doctor in the town.
Dr.
Yeah.
Hoag.
Yeah,
Hoag.
Yeah. yeah, that's it.
Cantankerous. Cantankerous.
I just thought that was kind of unique that he went from one side of the coin to the other.
That's right. That's right. Well, and I forgot to thank all the people who have sent me emails, the people from Facebook and some of the other social networks. This topic did get quite a bit of interest there. Of course, MASH is being mentioned several times. Flatliners came up. Chris Rommel suggested that. Article 99 came in from Chris Mansell. Now, I had never heard of Article 99.
No, I'm not familiar with that either.
But listen to this cast. Ray Liotta, Kiefer Sutherland, Forrest Whitaker, and it was about a group of doctors in a veterans hospital who faced too many patients and not enough beds, and it's another one of those black comedies. And then Sharon, the story lady, said John Q with Denzel Washington, which I haven't seen. But that, I think, took place in a hospital with Denzel sort of breaking the law in order to get treatment for his son. This one is interesting. This came from Laura Clifford. The Death of Mr. Lazarescu. It's, a Romanian movie. And Morgan, this, if you haven't seen this one, probably you should take a look at it. It is about how a person can get lost in the medical system. And this elderly man, this is his last day, and he just gets shunted around from pillar to post. And I don't know why it's billed as a comedy, but here again, it's probably a dark comedy. And then Olivia Wilder suggested My Life as a House with Kevin Kline, who played a dying architect. That was really quite a sad movie, I thought, as was another movie she suggested, Terms of Endearment. Talk about a tear-jerker. And then Denise.
Yeah, there's a two hanky film right there.
I know. And then Denise suggested Coma, so it looks like Coma and MASH and Flatliners are getting mentioned quite a bit.
Those are like the big winners, yeah.
That's right. Well, what about the worst movies ever made about medicine or medical themes, Morgan?
Boy, that's a good one. I don't generally waste my time watching bad stuff.
Good for you. I have to watch it.
How do you avoid it, though? I watch so many movies, and there's a certain number of them that just have to be clunkers, you know?
I will probably get up and walk out of a theater if I just, you know, if it doesn't pull me in the first 15 or 20 minutes, I'm toast. I'm gone. I just walk out. I've seen a lot of mistakes in medical shows that I laugh at because I know the audience probably won't get them, but, there's an episode, and we'll use this because it's recent, there's an episode of House where they have the 600-pound man in there, and they're doing all these workups, and they're sure it's diabetes and this and that and everything, and I'm yelling at the TV set, look at his hands, idiots, look at his hands, and the bottom line is that when they finally get around to looking at his hands, his fingers are not just fat, they're nubbed. They're club fingers. Club fingers are signs of carcinoma or possible cancer. And in his particular case, he ended up with lung cancer, but you would have seen that on the H&P when he came through the door. The history and physical and the workup.
I remember that episode, and that's the kind of thing, of course, that you would notice. I'm going to have to send out an SOS to my wonderful producer, Nikki Starr, and tell her that I've lost my switchboard.
Well, that'll
be a
problem.
She's having thunderstorms, too.
Nikki's in the middle of thunderstorms and can't get to us.
Dear. Well, she can't. She can't get to us. Okay, so I'm hoping that people can still hear, and we probably will not have the outro music then, because I usually, either Nikki or myself, we usually put that on, so that gives us a little more time here. But I do have a worst movie about medicine.
Okay.
I even hate to talk about it. It's so bad. But
which one?
the name of this movie is Awake, A-W-A-K-E. And I think it's just a couple of years old, and it's probably on DVD.
I liked that movie. Robin Williams.
No, you're thinking of The Awakenings.
Oh, you're right. I apologize.
This is Awake, and it's about anesthetic awareness. Now, who doesn't?
Who isn't afraid?
Who isn't afraid of waking up during a surgery? In fact, my daughter regained consciousness during what was supposed to be a routine procedure, and we almost lost her. So that is something that can happen, but it doesn't happen very often. But in this movie that starred Hayden Christensen, isn't he Darth Vader in some of the Star Wars
movies? Yeah, I think
movies?
He is.
Right, and yeah. Jessica Alba and Lena Olin and Terrence Howard. My goodness, this is a great cast, and I just thought this could be so exciting and so scary. But what happens is when the guy wakes up during his surgery, he discovers this betrayal, you know, between his doctor and his wife, and you know, and who's responsible. And it just went way
there
overboard.
Are situations occasionally when we'll go in to do a follow up with a patient in a room, and they'll say something like, "Couldn't you pick some better music?" Because we usually will play music in the OR while we're doing long-term repairs. And one of my favorite doctors likes to use the Beach Boys a lot. And this girl, I mean, I went in to do the follow-up the next day, and this girl said, "Jesus, I hope you're not here to play any more of that damn Beach Boys music."
And I mean,
you get a cold chill, and you just kind of look over and said, "Did somebody tell you that?" To know, I had Barbara Ann. I listened to 409. I was so sick of surfing music by the time. I said, "Just stab me in the heart and be done with it." And I thought, wow, you know, and I made a note of it and went back to the surgeon. And I said, you know, she heard all the music. And she said, "Yeah, every now and again we get one like that." And
That's you have such wonderful stories, Morgan.
I mean, you've been such a wonderful guest,
but I just want people to know that we're encouraging them to buy a copy of your book, The Streets Ran Red, and
check
out your website. I encourage everyone to go to www.thestreetsranred.com and also to listen more to Morgan, who has a Blog Talk Radio show of his own. And Morgan, we wish you the best of luck. I'm sure we're practically out of time here, but we wish you the best of success with your wonderful book, and please come back again soon, okay?
Well, thank you for having me, and I appreciate all the kind words and thoughts and everything, and I look forward to doing this with you again sometime.
Well, we'll certainly be in touch with you.
It was great having you as a guest. We could do this topic probably 10 times over, couldn't we?
I know. Yeah, this is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their support and connection with this show. Special thanks to Nikki and Jazz for everything they do to make Movie Addict Headquarters such fun to host. Thanks also to our listeners and chatters. We greatly appreciate your participation. Now, next Tuesday, it's a biggie at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 1 p.m. Pacific Time. We will have none other than Hollywood legend Tony Curtis here to help us celebrate the 50th anniversary of Some Like It Hot. You don't want to miss this one. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. This is Betty Jo saying bye for now, Blog Talk Radio.